Broadcast sponsored by Mount Zion Bible Church of Pensacola, Florida. This is Pastor L.R. Shelton Jr. speaking. We count it a privilege to be able to come in your home again today with the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. This weekly broadcast of the Word of Truth is dedicated to the teaching and preaching of the Word of God as it is to men as they are, for the sole purpose of the glorification of our triune God, the edification of God's people, and the salvation of lost souls. We give you an invitation to meet with us each week at this time to partake of God's Word together. Greetings in the name of our lovely Lord, whose we are and whom we serve. Welcome again to another Word of Truth broadcast. Our Bible reading will be found in Hebrews chapter 10, beginning with verse 26. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment in fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore a punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that hath said, Vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for thy word, that it is not only the lamp unto our feet and the light unto our pathway, but it is the sword that cuts asunder and lays bare our hearts, the spirit, and the soul, and lets us see that everything is naked and open under the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Oh, we do pray that that word thou hast given us for today, thy word will penetrate deep into our souls, and we will hear it with not only the outward ear, but the ear of the heart. And you will open our eyes and our ears of our spirit that we may be able to see and know and understand the things that are made for our peace and the things that are written against us in thy word. We might flee to Christ and find in him our all in all. For it is in his precious name that we pray. Amen.
Over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see, wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty, teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words.
wonderful words of life. Jesus, only Savior, sanctify forever. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life.
We say thanks for your letters and gifts received this past week, for the encouragement and support of this Word of Truth broadcast. We always love to hear from you and know of God's dealings in your heart. And I wish you would pray for us, that the Word may go forth in power and much assurance, and hearts may be turned unto our God. The free book we're giving away this month is entitled The Rich Man and Lazarus, an exposition of Luke 16, verses 19 through 31 by Brownlow North. I want you to have a copy of this book. It's very enlightening upon our Lord's teachings concerning the death of this rich man and the death of this poor man. The titles of some of the chapters is Earthly Suffering, Not Salvation. How the Beggar Became Rich, How the Rich Man Became Poor. The poor rich man, his prayer, and then the earnest, heartfelt, too late prayer that came. I want you to have a copy of this book. It's yours free and postpaid. If you will write for us, we will send it to you. Ask for it by name, The Rich Man and Lazarus by Brownlow North. Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2603 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. And now for God's message. For the past weeks, we've been bringing a series of messages on the Lordship of Jesus Christ and how they blessed my soul. I desire, by the grace of God, beginning today, to follow up this series of messages on the Lordship of Jesus Christ with a series on the subject, the true gospel of Christ versus the false gospel of carnal Christianity. And I desire, by the grace of God, the Holy Spirit working in us, to show you from the Word of God that this false gospel of carnal Christianity has deceived many souls, because the vast majority of Christendom today has not bowed to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and is therefore on sinking sand and an easy prey to this false teaching that has so permeated our land and our pulpits, this false gospel of carnal Christianity. Now, in this series of messages, as I said, we will desire to bring out the true and to bring out the false and to show you the warning from God's Word that we should not walk to the flesh, but so to the Spirit. All right? I want you to listen to these series of messages. I want you to listen to them with an open heart and an open Bible, praying that God will deal with every one of our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And I want you to pray for me. We will deliver them in love and understanding, and we will preach the whole counsel of God. Now, with your Bible in hand, let us read together this warning given in Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8, against this false gospel of carnal Christianity. Will you listen to God's Word? We are told, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. My friend, This to me is a most solemn warning to all of our hearts today, and especially in this day of free believism and carnal Christianity, which is being preached on such a large scale. Oh, how our heart should cry to the Lord for the truth of His Word. That truth that appeals not to our fleshly desires, nor to our fleshly emotions, but to that which cuts off our flesh and lays bare our hearts before God. We want the whole counsel of God, not just part of it. We should cry to God to so work in our hearts by His Spirit that our hearts would be laid bare in confession and repentance, and that holiness, yes, holiness of thought and word and deed would characterize our hearts and our lives. Oh, my friend, my heart has been burdened and been crying to the living God to so work in our hearts by His Spirit that sin would become exceeding sinful, that blind eyes would be made to see their lost, ruined condition before God, and that there would be a mourning over sin, an awakening, a revival in our hearts. My friend, this is our only hope. And you ask why? Because the vast majority of Christendom today is deceived as to the state of their never-dying souls before God. You see, justification in Christ alone is preached at the expense of holy living, and the hearers of this one-sided gospel are left in the dark as to God's requirements of the necessity of a holy life. You see, God's grace has been turned into lasciviousness, and the attitude of most has been, a little sin won't hurt. Don't you know, I'm just a carnal Christian, and besides, doesn't grace cover it all? Yes, my friend, not to the expense of a godless life. You see, this false teaching of carnal Christianity has so permeated our churches that no one ever questions their interest in Christ, no matter how they live. They are told that if they have believed, that is all that is needed, and therefore everything is well with their souls. They know nothing about heartfelt repentance and bow unto the Lordship of Jesus Christ. I've never been told that there must be a turning to God in true heartfelt repentance and heartfelt faith before there is a work of grace in the soul. My friend, my Bible, the Holy Word of God, declares no such teaching as this carnal Christian theory, but in fact declares just the opposite. We read in Hebrews 12:14, follow peace with all men, and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. Yes, holiness must characterize our lives. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness, according to 1 Thessalonians 4:6. And Ephesians 1:4 tells us, He hath chosen us in Him. God has, before the foundation of the world. For what purpose? We should be holy and without blame before Him in love. You see, He who hath called us and saved us with an holy calling is the same one who tells us to be obedient children, not fashioning ourselves according to the former lust in our ignorance, but as He which hath called us is holy, so we should be holy in all manner of conversation and godliness, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy, according to 1 Peter 1:14-16. Did you remember our text? Our text found in Galatians 6:7-8 declares the same thing. God would have us to understand and not to be deceived about this false teaching. That no matter what false preachers and teachers may say about it, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. My friend, this is God's Word. If you sow to your flesh, you shall of your flesh reap corruption. I don't care how many professions you've made and whose church you belong to. You cannot mock God. He is no respecter of persons. Each and every individual who sows to his flesh shall of his flesh reap corruption. Listen to me now. Are you listening? A man who sows to his flesh continuously has never been saved. He's never been born again. And you ask why? because of this. Under Holy Spirit conviction, the soul is given the grace of God to repent. And in repentance, he learns to hate sin, to abhor sin, and to loathe himself and to flee by faith to Christ for deliverance from sin. He knows that sin has not been eradicated when God saved him. It is still the plague of his heart. But he no longer loves it. He no longer makes sin the practice and rule of his life. He hates it and cries out against it because he knows what it did to the Lord Jesus Christ at the cross. You see, the soul whom God saves has had a new heart and a new nature put within him. He now desires holy things and to walk in the way of righteousness. He finds in Ezekiel 36:26, that God has given him a new heart. He finds in 2 Peter 1:4 that God has given him a new nature. He finds in 1 John 3:9 that he has been born of God. And that he that is born of God does not make sin the practice and rule of his life anymore. Why? Because his seed remaineth in him, the seed of God. And he cannot make sin the practice and rule of his life. He hears the word in 1 John 2, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. He hears, if any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And so, having been taught that he is a lost, hell, deserving sinner by the work of the Holy Spirit, having laid at the feet of God in repentance by the work of the Holy Spirit in him, having looked by faith to Christ as his Lord and Savior, by the work of the Holy Spirit in him, having seen that his sin put Christ to death, and this was revealed to him out of the Word by the Holy Spirit, he wants no part of the world, because the love of God has been shed abroad in his heart, and this too has been worked in him by the Holy Spirit. You see, he learns from these verses in 1 John 2 that all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, which is the desire to indulge, is not of the Father. So he cries out against it and hates it because it put the Lord Jesus Christ to death. He learns, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, that is a desire to possess, is not of the Father. So he cries out against it and hates it because it put Christ to death on the cross. He learns that the pride of life, which is a desire to attract to oneself, is not of the Father, but is of the world, the satanic world system of sin. So he cries out against it and hates it because it put Christ to death on the cross. He also learns that the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So he desires by the grace of God to do the will of God, which is to walk in righteousness and true holiness, according to Ephesians 4:24. And my question to you, my beloved, to my own heart, has God so worked in our hearts in this way, as he taught us by the Spirit, under Holy Spirit conviction, we're not to love the world, nor the things in the world, but we're to love Christ and to love holiness and the way of righteousness. Therefore, since God gives every sinner whom he saves a new heart and a new nature, he puts his Holy Spirit within him to guide him to all truth. So that saved sinner now searches the Word of God, not to find things that will justify him in his sins, but to find that Word which warns him against sin and tells him how to flee to Christ from sin. He reads in Romans 8:6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So he begins to cry to the indwelling Holy Spirit to deliver him daily from a fleshly mind, a carnal mind, and to give him that spiritual mind of life and peace in the Lord Jesus. He is not seeing how close he can walk to the world and to sin, but how he can walk close to God in Christ by his Spirit, what pleases him. He is not searching the Word of God to find out the sins of others, which are recorded there, so that he might use them as a means of justifying his walk in sin. Oh, no. He reads these things as warning to him not to walk where others walked and failed, and others have turned back in apostasy. You see, dear friend, the man or woman, boy or girl, whom God saves and whom he gives eternal life in Christ, hears those words from Galatians 3, where we are told set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory. Therefore, because of all of this, of who we are and what we are in Christ and where he's put us, and that Christ is our life, then we hear those words in Colossians 3:5, mortify, that is, put to death, reckon as dead your members which are upon the earth. You see, the saved soul hears these words, and he does not see how close he can live to sin or how many characters he can find in the Bible who have sinned, and therefore he can use their lives to justify living in sin, living a life to the flesh. Oh, no. But because of what Christ has done for him, and because Christ's life is now his life, he desires to put to death the things of the flesh, that he might sow to the Spirit and walk after the flesh. Beloved, this is the way God deals with our hearts. I know firsthand. I know what the difference is between carnal Christianity and the life which is lived by faith in the Spirit on the living God and upon the living God. I have lived them both, and God has taught me the difference, and for this I praise him for it. And the only difference between me and the carnal Christian is the grace of God to follow Christ, and I praise him for it. Therefore, the saved soul hears, mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Also to put to death all these things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another. No, he desires to mortify them. And why? Because he has put off the old man with his deeds and has put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Yes, his desire is for Christ in his life, to walk in a way pleasing to God, and not after sin, because he has been born of the Spirit of God and has a new heart. Also in verse 6 of Colossians 3, the Holy Spirit gives us another reason for walking in the Spirit and not after the flesh. Watch it now. He says not to walk in these sins. Why? For the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, the man that sows to his flesh. So those who walk in such a way of disobedience to God's revealed will shall find themselves under his curse and under his wrath. And my friend, don't play with sin. It leads to apostasy. It leads to going back. It leads to wrath. It leads to God's curse. Don't play with it. So do the Spirit. Listen again to these definite and positive statements from God's Word. Will you? My friend, I don't want you to be deceived. A holy life, a sow into the Spirit, must follow the salvation that God gives in Christ, or it is not God's salvation. For Christ came to save his people from their sins and not in their sins, according to Matthew 1:21. Again, the holy life, a sow into the Spirit, must follow the salvation that God gives in Christ, or God's purpose in saving us would be defeated. Now, this cannot be. For we read in Ephesians 1:4 that God has chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world. For what reason? That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And my friend, God cannot be thwarted in his purpose to make his people like himself in the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, a holy life, a sow into the flesh, must follow the salvation God gives in Christ, or God's purpose in calling us would be defeated, and this cannot be. For we read in 1 Thessalonians 4:7, for God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. Again, a holy life, a sow into the flesh, sown to the Spirit, must follow the salvation that God gives in Christ, or God's will be turned aside, and this cannot be. For we read in 1 Thessalonians 4:3, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, your being set apart from sin by the progressive work of God's Spirit, of sanctification in your heart and in your life. Again, a holy life, a sowing to the Spirit, must follow the salvation that God gives in Christ, or the grace of God would not reign in the believer's life, and this cannot be. We read in Titus 2:11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Why? I want you to pay a particular attention to these verses. Pray that the Holy Spirit will write them upon your heart. For you see, when we sow to the Spirit, then we know that God's grace is working in our hearts. For when the grace of God that bringeth salvation appears to all, it teaches them, every one of God's children, the same things. And what does God's Word teach us? That we will be self-denying ones. In what way? In what way? Denying ourselves ungodliness and worldly lust because we hate sin and self and Satan and the world. The world of ungodliness. All learn this lesson, my friend. Not just some of God's children. All of them are taught by the Holy Spirit to hate sin and to deny self. And my friend, if you do not hate sin and deny self, you're not saved. But these verses of Scripture does not end there, only giving us the negative. The Holy Spirit teaches us that the grace of God that brings salvation will also teach us something positive, and that is how to live soberly, righteously, and godly. Where? In heaven? Only in the church? No, in this present evil world. Right at home, on the job, wherever we work. For He has by His grace and blood delivered us from this present evil world, according to Galatians 1:4. Remember now, the same Holy Spirit teaches all of God's children the same lessons. Put it down and hold it. The Holy Spirit teaches all of God's children the same lessons. And what are they? Listen to Titus 2:12 again. He has trained us to reject and renounce all ungodliness and worldly passionate desires, to live soberly, temperate, self-controlled lives in an upright, devout way and manner. In other words, He teaches us to live spiritually, whole lives controlled by Him right here in this present world. Oh, what a far cry this is from the present-day gospel that is preached. A gospel that does not break the power of sin. A gospel that does not give a new nature. And the gospel that allows you to go on in sin. A gospel that only gives you an insurance policy against hell and knows nothing about holiness of thought and action. A gospel that will let you indulge the flesh and puts no restraint upon your passion and pride and evil heart. And I say, my friend, away with such a gospel. Let me proclaim today that I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. And what does it do? It frees us from sin, its power and dominion, and breaks our hearts at His feet and cries and makes us cry after God as His servants. You might be delivered from the law of sin and death and to walk in a way of holiness. My friends, let me ask you this question in closing. Are you sowing to the flesh or to the Spirit? You answer that. If you want a copy of this message, write for it. We'd be happy to send it to you free and postpaid. Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2603 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. We're happy that you've been with us. Until this time next week, goodbye, and may God bless you.